we can rest in that, and we can have the peace of God in that. And sometimes it is not easy.
No.
As you begin the year, and you can look back at maybe some of the things of last year, and if you're not careful, you'll always focus on your failures, won't you?
Yeah.
Things that didn't quite work out right.
Mm.
We need to change our viewing and focus on the good things that happened in 95, I'm going to say. There were five in it there somewhere. Must have been a good year, that one, yeah. In 2005, should I say. And we've moved into 2006. And he's still the same.
Yeah.
And it's for us to move forward in his anointing and in his power. And in under his gaze, you know, because the word says his eye is always upon us, and that's, you know, that's something to be thankful for, that God is ever watching over us constantly. And so as he watches over us, so he watches over us to see that we will accomplish that which he has set before us to do, and we can praise God for that, in that all that he's doing to bless us. Well, that's it, right. Right, in the commencement of 2006, we're going to carry on with God's Armour Bearer, and we're looking at the second part of the book. The book was written in two parts originally, two separate books, and it has been reprinted and combined together. And so we're going to look at the second book, really, and hopefully be encouraged and continue to support each other and move forward together. As Philip was saying just a few minutes ago, that he read this chapter and it reminded him of some of the things that were spoken to us as a fellowship a good few years ago now. Yeah, fairly early on, somewhat 10-15 years now, isn't it? And at the same time, it reminded me of things that were said to us after that, when we were in the States. And so I've sort of started off really these notes with bringing, because it's a study within Harvest Fields, to help continue to help us develop as individuals in the things of God and for the kingdom of God, and to affect other people's lives around us that we come into contact with. So started to just look back. It's good to look back, but to look back on the right things. Looking back on the good things that God, the promises of God, are good to look back on. To remind yourself of what God said to you. And what he said to you, you and I at times do not know the time span when God will fulfill these things. But God will do it. Sometimes most of the time we don't understand why it seems to take so long. But I believe God will do it.
Amen.
Because God is faithful to his word. And I suppose one instance I can think of, even within this fellowship, was the fact of Helen, although she's not with us tonight, but Helen, for instance, her granny prayed that she would get saved. Now, if my memory serves me right, I don't think her granny actually saw it physically. Helen was at that stage in contact with us, but I don't believe she'd come to that point of really making a decision for the Lord. She'd gone through various situations and circumstances, and I don't think she'd really made a true commitment. But the prayers of her granny had gone up, a sweet smelling savour before the Lord's throne for many a year. But her granny saw it when she made that decision because the word tells us we are encompassed about by a great host of witnesses. And those witnesses are those who have gone on before and who are in the presence of God. Ken, I'm trying to get away from this, but I can't get away from it, right? As I said, you know, that the prayers were going to be fulfilled just a few minutes ago, the Lord said to me, tell Ken, Jamie's going to be fine. And as I continue to keep trying to get away from it, continue on this, he just keeps bringing me back. Jamie's going to be fine, he's going to come through. That's not me, but God's saying the promises that he gave you, you are to hold on to. And you're to fix your gaze on those. And not on what's happening, even now. But fix your gaze on the promises. Now I can move on, I think. Praise God. You know, we need to celebrate these things.
We do.
Don't we? You know, we need to celebrate. And as we celebrate what God has promised and what God is doing, then I'm sure we'll see them come to pass faster. Because our eyes are focused on thanking God. And as we give thanks unto him, then everything else will begin to have less of a grip on us, and we'll begin to press through. And God will sharpen our cutting edge.
Amen.
And that we will cut quicker through to that which hinders, and we'll cut through to that which God wants us to possess and to take hold of, and wants us to be a blessing in so many ways to other people around us. You know, I thank God for the Christmas party that we had, and there were people who came and that were outsiders that didn't know the Lord, and I'm sure many of them were touched in some way, were witnessed to in some way, and some of them it will have had a good effect on them. Others, they'll have gone the other way, running scared, kicking and fussing. We don't control that, do we? Well, you know, the Lord says he will use the foolish to confound the wise. So wherever we fit, they might only think it. So, some years back, the Holy Spirit gave Harvest Fields a word, and that we would be involved in training people from our own local training centre, training them in the Word of God, and they'd be going out into the streets and ministering the word of life to many souls. And that was given to us to Grace and I when we were in the States. In fact, we have it on tape. And we'd forgotten about it. I think some years back we played it to you and we found the tape. And we listened again to what God was saying to us. We'd just met GC. Right. Yeah, well, GC didn't hear that because GC had gone home. We just met him that week, hadn't we? We met at a meeting, some seminar, which was called The Gathering of Eagles. And, it didn't quite work out like that. Most of the eagles flew off and left the buzzards to it, actually, in the end. All the eagles left early and the buzzards remained, and we didn't have a flight out. We were stuck, so we had to stay. But that was fine, because God gave us an opportunity to minister the word, and then there was a word given back to us which was in this light and line. And that many of those people who were being trained and brought up in the word would go out, and they wouldn't just be in the Doncaster area, they were going to go out throughout England, and they'd be witnessing and people will be getting saved and people will be being healed and miracles will be happening. It was then, I think, sometime later that somebody over here gave us a picture that we were to be like a hub of a wheel. And from the hub would be going out spokes. And spokes of light. And they would make contact around the area and God would begin to use us in some form in that way. And so we have to hold on to these things. And that we would be part of a great wheel. And that we would be involved somehow in the turning of the wheel. And, you know, I can look at these things and I think, well, I don't know how you're going to do it, God. I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know who you're going to use to do it. I don't know what you're going to use to do it. But I think sometimes we just have to stand on that the promises of His Word and stay and just carry on doing what we're doing and seeking God to keep hearing His voice to tell us what is the next step or whatever we need to do. And the thing about what is going on is that it is not just about you and I. It is about other people who maybe we're not in contact with yet. And so there is a work going on in my life. There's a work going on in your life. But there has to be a work going on in other people's lives for God to begin to make the connections. And we have to just continue to pray that that process will speed up or that process will be continuing and speed up for that we will see things beginning to happen. And as Grace said, there was another word given to us by GC on a similar line, wasn't there? And I think, was that 12 months later or something?
Yes.
So he knew nothing of what had been said to us at that time. And so, again, we just have to keep trusting God and believing God. And I, in the past, prior to all of this, I've had that feeling in my heart for a long time. And I've got to be honest, I just think, well, how, when, where, what? And you might think, well, when is it going to happen? And you know, you can get frustrated, can't you? You get impatient. But for me, I've been praying on this for, and waiting on this, and sometimes I like to just leave it and forget about it and just say, well, God, got to hand it over to you. And this is something that probably has been going on in my life for over 25 years. And yet it still keeps coming back. And then you start saying, but God, I'm getting a little older. You know, to 25 years, I mean, when you get to 35. We're not there yet, right? Was the ageless ones, yes. Yeah, that's true. And then you have to remind yourself, well, God started with Moses at 80. I think, okay, yeah, but don't remind me of that, Lord, you know, can we just sort of see that a little bit earlier in one sense? But we have to continue to press on. And we continue to keep building the local church and keep encouraging the local church and moving out from that to encouraging the local churches. This coming Sunday night, they're having their special meeting at Priory Place at 7 o'clock and, you know, we're going to go along and encourage. And you'll have, you know, we get opportunity to speak to people where you're from, and you mix with them and share with them, and we see people who said, oh, I haven't seen you for a long time. Till we're right. And then the words come back, and you haven't changed, have you, in all them years? I think, there you go, wear a bit of silver off and cheap scissors, you know. But, yeah, and we keep pressing on.
Amen.
You be careful, mate. Keep telling you, it's that hairdresser, she's using them scissors, and she's got the cheap chrome, and it keeps coming off. She got too close with scissors on yours. You were sat up too high in chair. Ah, well, that's it. And so, one of the important things for us as a local church and as individuals is that we really sort of start to keep building ourselves up and make ourselves ready. That every member of the body should be discovering their gifting, their calling, so that they can submit it into the local church, so that it can edify and it can function, because the local church needs to affect the area. An evangelist can come in and he can have a short, sharp impact, but then the rest of the work is then left up to the local church. I remember when Billy Graham came over, tremendous impact when he came over to Sheffield United football ground, and 10 nights, and people were flocking out to make a decision for the Lord Jesus. But it didn't finish there. That was only the beginning. The seedlings and the seeds were planted, and they had to be nurtured, and they had to grow up, and they had to mature. Like, were you one of them? You were one of the little seedlings, were you? From 85. And you, John? Wow. So we have. So we have two seedlings that have grown up into strong plants. And that is from what happened in 85. Yeah. You see. Did your Calvin went out? Yeah. Right, so we've got three. You were there, but they. Right. I was there. I was sat behind him. Yeah. I went there every night. I had to do. I was a supervisor. I had a badge with ribbons on. I was a supervisor. You were a steward. Yeah. So there was a seed planted then, but it took a while for it to germinate. So that means we got four plants from that crusade. Wow. So Billy, one of the things that I remember Billy Graham saying, because they let us go into a meeting for ministers and leaders and that, and one of the things he said was basically that if everybody, every Christian, won one person to Christ each year, within 10 years the whole world will be saved. Wow. And I think you laid that down as a challenge to us. Absolutely. But that's it, that's what you do. You know, that's where it starts. But you know, you can look at last year. Christine, was it last year? No, the year before, wasn't it? Now it's just over 12 months. We've been praying for Christine for many a year. She didn't know that, but that don't matter. They don't need to know. And right.
If each person who has been born to Christ,
yeah,
also does it.
Yeah, compounded in that sense, yeah.
how I came across that was when somebody said about something like a disease to birth with. One person passes it on to another one, and every person who contracts it passes it on to another one within a month or over. It was that disease that started off in Asia a couple of years ago, not the other one.
SARS.
Yeah, that's when it came with that.
Right.
I heard it on some radio program or something, and I
sat. Well, that's interesting, you know, if it can happen in 31 days, just think how God can usher in his kingdom. That's right. So he could usher in the kingdom in 31 days. That is... Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that's right. There is. That's right, yeah, because I mean... So, we live in a tremendous age with tremendous opportunities. And as I was saying, you know, Christine, for instance, year last November, made a decision for the Lord Jesus. And we continued to pray them for the family. And some 6 months later... Mum arrives.
Oh,
6 to 8 months later, Mum arrives on the scene. It usually is the other way around, yes. But and we thank God for that. So, you know, that's great. And so, the process has been working there. There's a son yet to be brought in, and there's a husband yet to be brought in. But the process is ongoing and at work. And we're all part of that process. And we continue to encourage and we support each other, we support leadership. And, you know, who knows where the next leadership is? Could well be sat to my right hand side at this point in time.
You know, when you pray for people to be saved and things like that? Mm. Can you just do it short and sweet that you want people to be saved?
Why be long-winded about it? There's a lot of people to get saved.
Short and sweet, but I'm just thinking if you didn't name quite a few people you want to be saved, it could be... It just sounds short and sweet, but is that okay?
Well...
You list, I want this person, you know...
Some...
Just told God, you know, people on my list, go.
Oh, that seems shorter. Yeah. I'm struggling at the moment with sleep or the lack of sleep. I get 4 hours a night if I'm fortunate. Is it you that's waking me up? Oh dear. I'm not getting cramp, I don't know why I'm awake. But I can guarantee I'm awake 3:30, 4 o'clock every morning. And so... What do you do at them sort of hours? It's too cold to get out of bed. If I get out of bed, it might disturb grace. So you lay there and start to pray. And so what happens? People's faces come up. So just pray for the face. And you guys are often... No. Not when I can see them, like, but they probably are. So, cheeky tone. Do you want to go and stand in the corner with your face the wall? So we go through we're going through a process at the moment. I'm not really enjoying it, I'll be honest. but you don't waste the time. So we need to we continue and press on and we keep moving forward. We need to remember that. Or be reminded that the church is not a democracy in that sense. It's not, let's all vote and see what we're going to do. Jesus didn't say, we'll take a vote and see, if I'm going to go to the cross. He made a decision. God made a decision. And in the same way, God calls people and he expects you to answer the call. And we need to learn to hear and to be able to distinguish the voice of God. And the voice of God, when we hear it, we will get a confirmation in the word. And it will be confirmed to us. It can be confirmed to us through other people. And so we can be encouraged and blessed. And we can walk out what God tells us to do. So God is looking for committed Christians, people who are fully committed, totally serious about the calling. Because we are called to touch the local community. And we're called to be people of power. Yeah. And that the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ is working in us. Mm. And you think, well, you know, I can't preach. I'm not saying preach. Mm. We've never preached to the Leek family. But grace worked in the same company that Joe worked in. I went and sold him stuff. So we've been, and so we've had a contact for some 30 years, on and off. They know where we stand, but we've never. That's true.
Yeah, we had a race to see who could get it, and Joe was further in the negotiations than we were, and we pulled out. And then we came up to the bungalow where we are now, and we signed.
It will be in a minute.
And I met Joe at work.
Take it off.
And told me how disappointed he was because the lady at Sprotford had backed out. Mm. And I was telling him where we were, and that the our bungalow was practically identical to the ones at Sprotford. And he said, oh, I'm going to have a look. And next thing I know, Joe's put his name on the plot and it's two doors down. And God was working 30 years.
Yeah. And you know, when we came up to look at him, he wanted that bungalow that you got.
Did he really? Yeah. There you go. You got to be quick.
Yeah. Yeah. This has got more land to it. I thought,
thank
goodness, we haven't got it now.
Yeah. From what I did, I used to go to this course, and they were born again Christians, you could tell. And I was drawn to this particular lady. And after my course, I once bumped into her in town, and she was sharing something with me. And I happened to mention about churches and what I've been going through. And she says, well, just pray to God and ask him if you want, you know, to lead you to the church. To a church you want to go to, because I wanted to feel. I've told you the story before, haven't I? And then did I pray for it?
Yeah.
And that, you know, amazing. Yeah. And I felt it released me once I'd prayed it to him.
Yeah.
And I didn't quite know what to believe, but I just once I've said it, that's it. I've left it to him now. And it was marvellous, how it happened.
Amazing. Look back and see him working.
See, it is good to look back. And you focus on the things that God has been doing and the plans that God has been setting out. And the structure that God has been laying down to bring people together.
There's just something else I want to say about that. You know, Joe's volunteered, didn't he?
Sorry.
It's
all right. Joe spoke to you before... before you saw Christine, didn't you? Yeah, and Joe says to me, he's told me this recently. He says, you know, when I was speaking to Grace, he said, I was really asking for her help. You know, I said that to me.
Right.
Realised I was asking for her help.
Mm-hmm.
It all went from then, didn't it?
And God was listening.
For that full year, when you spoke to me, Dad, I was so eager to come and see you. So eager. I wanted to come and see you. When you said that you had to show me today, I kept saying to God, I can't see you there. So if I could have come, could only have known that I can't. Now. I can't. I feel that. No, I can't. And all this.
The devil can't thwart God's plans, can he?
No.
He can just.
It's amazing, isn't it? So it's obvious what we're going off there.
It was.
Yeah.
I kept saying to me, Mum, you ask her over and over again, isn't it?
Yeah. You kept saying, well, go down, Mum. And I did come once, but there was nobody in.
Typical, isn't it? We got there, isn't there?
God made a way where there was no way.
That's obvious. No questions now.
And you met over a dustbin.
Yeah, we did.
See, you can meet over a pile of trash.
Yeah.
And you know. And so we just have to realise that God is, you know, pulling the structure together, forming the tapestry, the main strands of it, and then he begins to weave in the colours to create the picture. And we, you know, we think nothing's happening. But for 30 years, something was being done. We couldn't see it. And sometimes you despair. And you get frustrated, and you get angry, and you get upset, and you get despondent. But the word tells us that we are to be faithful, and that God never slumbers and he never sleeps. And so we thank God for that, and we press on with that. But it all comes about through the local church, individuals being active in some way, to making links and just sowing a seed in season and out of season. Sometimes we're not even sure when the season is, and sometimes we just have to sow the seed, and well, if the birds get hold of it, that's okay, we've still got plenty of seed to sow. You know, a farmer is not sparing when he sows seed. He don't think, well, I'll just put a few down here. He scatters it well. And yet, the birds take some. He loses some to the hard ground. He loses some to the frost. But then there are some that grow, and they bring forth an increase. A hundredfold.
You can't keep it to yourself.
No. Not for
so
keeping.
People you think you can get to, you do it, don't you?
Yeah.
It's like me with cats.
Yeah.
You know, we're having household things together and she's going to come on Sunday.
Really?
Wow!
Coming on Sunday.
You know, if we'll all get this desire to reach one.
Yeah.
We just talked, you see, Ted, that.
Yeah, it's the. She lives in the house.
Yeah. Just above us.
Oh, yeah.
27.
I'll tell that it wouldn't be, you know,
that's. No, it's not her. No, she lives further on the estate further down. That's Joe. I haven't seen Joe since.
There's something odd to be shared.
I'm a bit more sceptical of Joe. But, yeah.
Well, you just keep, you just sow your seeds and just pray over it and thank God for it.
I'll probably pray one of the bits when she's part of listening to us, just singing.
We're so exceeding, aren't we?
Certainly are.
We keep crying.
don't they? Oh, yeah.
With them in.
Ah, well, the one will come up, that's for sure. Because we're praying in there. So you're basically pinching the notes, you know. What part are you to carry out? Where can you get involved?
Yeah.
You know, you've already started, haven't you? You've already told me. What resources do you have available?
Mouth.
Yeah. You got a mouth? Can use it. Encourage somebody by it. There's so many people being discouraged. That you can use your mouth to encourage. And they say, why are you always so up? Don't they? Why are you always so up? It's, well, you begin to share. I've got Jesus in my life and the promises of God are real. And you move on from there and you tell them what God has been doing for you and the way God has blessed you and touched you and healed you and helped you and strengthened you and the promises that he's given to you. And the word says his promises are yea and amen.
Yeah.
And they don't fail. It's us that fail, not God. And so we have to, you know, stay in there and use the resources available. What opportunities lie before you? there's a term in the hunting game, it's open season, isn't there? Well, it's open season. You can shoot anybody you want, that is with the word of God, not a gun.
Yeah, I'm going to be scared to hold it back now. I have to be a bit timid a long time lately, but I don't hold it back now.
No, there's no point in holding it back.
No.
We've nothing to be ashamed of.
I want my daughter's a bit low and depressed. If we want for the grace of God, I don't think I'd be in here now. I kept turning to him and he kept pulling me through. I wouldn't, at one time, I wouldn't do it. It's empty saying all like that, don't
it? Yeah.
Praise
God for for the courage and boldness that God's joy brings into our lives.
I'm surprised how many hymns my missus knows. I'm surprised. And suddenly we had ugly at the heart one. I was there, you know, Lord my God. And she was singing with me.
I'm going to tell you this. Your wife is not far from the kingdom.
Amen.
And you've got to start thanking God. Now, let me finish. You've got to start thanking God that she's saved.
Amen.
Now, you've got to do that. That's a declaration of faith. Thank God that she's saved. Thank God, thank you, Lord, that she's in the kingdom.
Amen.
You know, it only needs people to say, Lord, I surrender to you. Be Lord of my life. And there's an immediate entrance into the things of the kingdom of God. And it's within it. She's a breath away from the kingdom. And you've got the key to keep just staying in there and praising God, and she will come. I spoke to your wife, and she didn't seem at all hostile in any way. She seemed so open to the things of God. And I thank God for the opportunity I had just to speak with her. And so, it's great.
Sweet soul.
Yeah, she's got a sweet soul in there.
Yeah, she's a good wife, she is.
She's had a lot to put up with you, like, but I mean,
all men the same.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Don't. Hey, you're right. Don't ask a man if he's got flu, because if he's got flu,
he's killing and rotting.
Oh, aye. Absolutely. Yeah, you're true there. We might as well say, because if we don't say it, they will. So let's just, you know.
I'm sure about that. I wouldn't do. I was robbed her at one time.
A robber?
I would have robbed her at one time.
All right. She's on tape, this, by the way, Edwin. Don't let this one go home. All right. That's why he's wearing dark glasses tonight as well, I think. This is a bit of a con, this, with eyes, I reckon.
Well, I don't ring Robert, and I kept money up
for him. Ah, I know what you mean, yeah. Shut up, you're digging a bigger hole. Be quiet.
Sylvia?
Yeah, Sylvia, he's digging a big hole here. Okay, I ain't going to get through tonight, am I? It seemed like a couple of months with you lot.
No, we've got two to fit in, haven't we? Two sessions. That's the trouble.
Huh? You have two sessions, huh?
Oh, dear.
I see, is that what it is? I sent Bill a text and said, Bill, you know, you can. But I don't think we're going to get very far tonight, Bill. No. Oh, dear. There ain't many churches where you get this sort of feedback and response and life. Is there?
So.
That's right, yeah. So the next point is, what do local church leaders need from you? Well, I think, you know, some of this lot won't go far wrong, would it, with, you know, the encouragement, the sharing, the that sort of thing is so crucial, because a family functions on interactivity. A family does not function on tell you, you sat in the wrong place. Do you mind pointing finger? You're doing the laughing.
It's interactive when you're all
out. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Interactive audio.
You see, you get these computer games, and kids play these computer games, and you never hear another sausage out of them. They're totally stum-dumb, you know, aren't they? We sell board games, and you start playing board games, and that's when the real people come out then, isn't it? You know, the cheats and that, you know, and everything, and that's when it really starts to happen. So, but it's about interaction.
It is.
And sometimes the interaction is not always the sweetest.
No.
But our love for each other and our love for the Lord should carry us through.
Absolutely.
Oh, by the way, Gladys sends her love, by the way. Little Gladys, she sends a love. I spoke to her the other day. White hair, and she stands about this high. She's in her 80s, and she sends a love, and she's going to try and get over sometime. And so she sends a love to everybody. How many times have you been asked for help? How many times have you volunteered? If you see something that needs doing, volunteer. Get on and do it. Help somebody, encourage somebody. Because that's what we need to be doing. We need to be supporting, encouraging one another. Speaking to myself here, I need to take some time, maybe a little bit of time out, just to, again, at times, sometimes you can slightly lose your focus. You know what it's like, after a couple of years, you need, those of us that wear glasses, after a couple of years or so, we have to go to the opticians. And he says, oh yeah, your glasses need changing. Oh, I wonder why we're holding it that far out and I'm trying to read. You know, my arms weren't long enough, I thought my arms had shrunk. And sometimes we need just to take time out and just adjust our focusing again, so that one can begin to share the vision that we believe God has given to me for Harvest Fields, and Harvest Fields to press through together. And as I was sort of thinking about that, I sort of looked back at, again, I've been looking back a little bit, but I've been looking back on the good things. And I look back at the time when I served a pastor for many years. Some of you would know him, and that was Pastor Beals. 18 stone, jolly man, a real pastor, useless at practical things, absolutely hopeless. And he used to say to me, lad, or he'd say, son, will you come and have a look at my car? There's a funny noise on it. So I'd go, and you'd guarantee there was. And it, you know, I remember one time he came to me and says, take my car out and see what you think's wrong with it. It was a Viva. No, it wasn't. It was one of them it'll do's. Itals. Were they Morris or
Morris
Ital, you know, marina type thing. Well, I took it out round our streets. I could hardly turn the steering wheel. I actually pulled a muscle in my arm. I was used to power steering. And this thing, I mean, well, something of the steering had seized up on this thing. I ended up had this thing in the garage. He says, I'll come and help you, lad. Well, he could hardly get past the car in the garage, let me tell you. He couldn't get him pit. If he'd got him pit, we'd have never got him out, I'll tell you. Bless him. And I remember working on that job, and I ended up dropping the suspension. It was a strange mechanism, and when it came to pulling it back together, I heard something crack in my chest But bless God, we got it all back together. We got back in the house, and I'm washing my hands in this wharf eager and that, and he says, can I have some of that? I looked at him, I says, what do you need some of that for? Well, I've got grease on my hands. I says, well, how did you get grease on your hands? I said, did you fall down? We always used to be, there's this relationship that went on, you see. And he just... We used to pull each other's legs, and he had that such a warm spirit. And I remember doing his kitchen for him, and him and his wife, and they were such a loving and a generous couple. And when I went to that church, I went there in 68. I went there and I served that man till he retired. And after, actually, even after when he retired, I served that man in whatever he had need of. And it was a joy to do it. Sometimes he'd ring up and you'd think, oh no, I'm so busy. And I just, but it was my calling, it was my joy to serve him. I'd forgot about that. Just getting into bed, or I was in bed, I can't remember, and the phone rings. Andrew, it's Mr. Beals here. Yes, Mr. Beals. I'm broken down. Whoa, right, where are you? I'm in Goldthorpe. Oh, no. And I had to go out, and the fan belt had broken on the car. And oh, dear me, the things we'd get him back, we'd go out and rescue him. I think he thought it was the AA or the RAC at our house, basically. But it was a joy to be with him, and it was a joy to do it, because I was doing it as unto the Lord. In fact, I think on that fan belt we used Mrs. Beale's tights to get us away. Oh dear. And you know, you could God is building a family that helps and encourages and supports and helps move forward things together. And together, you know, the word tells us one puts 1,000 to flight, two puts 10,000 to flight. And it's about us pressing on. And then, as Mr. Beals had retired, there's always somebody else comes up for you to serve. And that was another minister, Ambrose Lloyd. And he was a guy who was moving in the prophetic. He was one who encouraged me along that area and really helped me. And God began to move in that area in my life. But again, he gave me responsibility and he gave me opportunity. And it's about taking up the challenge. Picking up the responsibility. And I suppose... looking back over those years, I didn't realise I was being an armour bearer. I didn't realise that I was being a squire to a knight in the kingdom of God, to a leader that was placed by God there. And you don't realise it. Sometimes you don't realise, but you do it because you know deep down within your spirit that's what God has connected you to do. And as you serve, then you see God moving in power and you see things changing and you see God meeting needs even in your own life because of your service. And I look back and I can see that even in my service, that God blessed me because of it. And I didn't do it to get blessed. I did it because I just felt that I wanted to do it. I just felt a desire to do it. And enjoyed it and thank God for it. And then we served young people for 15 years in the church. That is not always joyful. It is not always easy. And there were times when you went home and you said, that's it. That's the last time. I've had it with this lot, I mean. But you didn't. I'm sure God sat there and chuckled and said, I know you won't. And we didn't. And we saw young people go out on the mission field. We saw young people. We know of young people who are leading youth groups in churches now. And it was seed that was being sown. And we were taking the young children. We were taking the potential squires, the potential armour bearers for the future, and beginning to equip them for works of service in the kingdom of God. That's what we're trying to do with some of these guys. Take on worship. And they've been taking on much of the responsibility this last few months of choosing songs and preparing things for worship in the church. And, you know, I thank God for that. And but it is always pressing on further. It is always about pushing in deeper. And that's what God wants for every one of us. That you move from where you are, you press on further into the things of God. Because as you do that, you release others in front of you and you make room for others to come behind you. The church is a moving being. It's never stagnant. It should never be stagnant. It should never be still in that sense. It should be moving forward and developing and growing. And in those development processes, we will get our problems. We'll have our grumps. And we'll have our moans. We might even throw a tantrum. Or two. Yeah, well, they have to be. Because love allows it to happen. Love overlooks it. I mean, every one of us has thrown a tantrum before God, I'm sure. Most of us must have said to God at some stage, God, forget it, I've had it, I'm out of here. Yeah.
It's a way of moving you on.
Yeah.
It's not a good way, but
sometimes it's the only way.
Well, maybe so, yeah.
You know, in the sense, if you were training somebody to handle a sword, they didn't fight with real swords or sharp swords when they were practicing. But if one hit you, can you imagine? You'd suffer some bruising and some pain and etc. You wouldn't enjoy that. And you could say, well, yeah, but you went into it. But in the same way, when we come together, we're coming into an unknown situation sometimes, aren't we? What sort of day have you had? None of us know what sort of day each of us have had. We don't know what sort of turmoils and pressures we've gone through during the day. We don't know what sort of high some have gone through and what sort of sadness some have gone through. And so we come all, but if we are learning to come and we win our victories day by day, we will come in that right spirit. But sometimes we don't quite make it, and so we are allowed to make mistakes. That's loving a family. That's unconditional love that says, I made a mistake, will you forgive me? And the answer has always got to be yes. Yes. Yeah, exactly. And
that means a lot to your sister, that.
Yeah.
Come to you in hospital,
No. You see, and it's unconditional. God's not saying to you and to me, well, if you do this, this and this, then I'll forgive you. Is he? You know, if you'll do this, then I'll forgive you. He doesn't say that, does he? It's the moment that you and I, and we have to learn to be like that. I think one of my phrases has been, keep short accounts. Keep short accounts with each other. Keep short accounts with God. And as we keep those short accounts, then we'll see God moving in our lives in a greater way.
Well, your responsibility to one another, you know, when there is a situation like that, obviously how I see it, that we have, if we're walking in love, we have a responsibility to try and alleviate the pain that that person's experiencing. I think that's a responsibility that we have.
We have. Yes, we have. We have a responsibility to each other. What we have to realise, I think, as well, is at times that sometimes God allows us to go through situations to develop our character, to develop us as individuals. And so we have to watch that we don't interfere with the process that God is on. We are to be there for that person and to be available for them and to be praying for them. One of the major keys is that we are praying for them. Not judging them, but we're praying for them. Not condemning them, but we're upholding them before the throne of God, because the word tells us about restoring a brother, and that not to condemn but to restore. And so the word focuses on restoring, bringing back, praying for and encouraging. But there are sometimes, there are processes that go on, and God is at work, and sometimes we have to be careful that we are not interfering with the process that God is doing. I mean, GC has a favourite phrase and saying at times. And people will say, go to him and say, will you pray for me? I'm going through a real bad time, you know. The Lord's really dealing with things in my life and or what have you. And then so he'll say, well, all right, yeah, I'll pray for you. And they want him to pray, you know, get me out of this, show me the shortcut. And he just says, no, I'll just... Well, he says, you want to get out quick? Yeah, sure. So he says, right, Lord, increase the pressure. It's like... get it hotter, Lord. And sometimes we have to walk through a process on our own. Not all the time, but there are certain processes that God has to walk us through on our own. You can take the Lord Jesus as an example. He went through the garden. He went through that experience in the garden totally on his own. Nobody else could go with him. He even prayed and felt his father had even forsaken him. So he was going through that process on his own. Why? If he couldn't have made that process through there on his own, he would have never made the process through on the cross. You see, there are steps that you and I go through in our lives that strengthen, that build us, that bring us to a place where we can go through situations, circumstances, where things that come against us, we are made ready to stand. Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. Now I know there were three of them in the fiery furnaces, but out of all the people that were there, and there were a lot of Jews in that city at that time, because they'd been taken captive, and when the band struck up, everybody bowed but Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, and they stood up. Where Daniel was, I don't know. He must have been out of town. He had to be, because there would have been four of them, because Daniel would have stood up. I mean, they nailed Daniel on the fact that he was praying three times a day with his window open, of all things. Threw him in a lion's den. Again, he had to go through that process on his own. We support the family, but we can't always walk through what they're going through. Do you see where I'm sort of bringing it out in that sense? But we are to encourage, we are to strengthen. But sometimes there's something that God is doing, and sometimes we've just got to keep our hands off and be watchful, prayerful, and be ready when the time, there will be a time that comes right, but that is then when, after the process is complete, and then there needs to be some more encouraging and lifting to bring through to the final. But the you know, when it really gets at its hottest, you and I can't be there. We're helpless because we don't understand that. But we can stand and pray. We can stand for them.
So is this God's got a plan for you, and you stand in His way? Are you saying that that's when He'll let you go through it on your own, or just if you do have to do it sometimes anyway?
Why, He's got to do it sometimes anyway.
But if you're doing something that's not His will,
that's your choice. That's your choice.
Yeah.
He'll lay out a path for us. And
would He try and stop it? Would He? If you're born again, will He?
He will try and discourage you, but if you read Pilgrim's Progress, good book to read. It's an old book written by John Bunyan when he was in prison, and he talks about, is it Bypath Meadow and etc. And these are all distractions along the way that lead you off the actual road that God has planned for you to get to the eternal city. And sometimes we drift off. We see just something catches our eye, and oh yeah, nip down here and just see what's this about. And before we know where we are, we've wandered off. We've lost sight of the pathway that we should be on for a little while. And we can get into all sorts of situations. God hasn't left us. We left Him. His word says He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. So His eye is on us. But He's waiting then for you and I to call out to Him. Then when we call, He answers. But you see, that's when probably He'll move somebody in. But at that point in time, just because we see somebody who's wandered off, that may not be the time to go and rescue them. Prodigal son. I'm sure the father must have sent out people looking for him. I could well imagine, because the father stood there and looked every day for him. I can't think that he wouldn't have sent somebody looking for him. And maybe somebody found him and said, you know, your dad's standing every day waiting for you. Why don't you come home? I'm having a good time. I've got my money. I've got all my friends. Why should I? It's boring at home. And when he's spent all that he's got, and then he comes to that point and realises that he's eating what the pigs eat. He's sleeping with the pigs. And he starts to think, well, there are servants back at my dad's place, and they've got a place to sleep, it's dry, they've got food on the table. What am I doing here? Suddenly came to his senses, I'll go back and I'll become a servant. And father's waiting for him. Welcomes him in. Gives him a ring, gives him a robe, and sets a banquet.
Yep. It doesn't allow Christine to go through
no.
in that pain.
No, no, yeah, I mean, yeah, you see, what you've got to realise, you may not have a person at the side of you, but what you've got at the side of you, you've got something far better. You've got God himself, you see. And because if we're not careful, what God doesn't want us doing is relying upon just purely our emotions or other people. Our absolute reliance has to go back to God, relying on him. Because people fail us. Somebody here, we've all probably failed each other at some point. We've all said something wrong that's hurt and injured, and it registers a failure for a short period of time, registers a hurt. But you can't say that about God, you see. And that's why it's not about just looking at people. It's looking at the God that's in the people, you see. And there's God in every one of us. And when we're going through the fire, when we're going through the trials, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego didn't look to anybody else to help them. They looked to the God that was in them, who walked in the fire with them. And that's really what it's about. I know you can say, well, there's a great bunch of people here that they're loving, they're kind, and they are. But they are not quite yet perfect. They're getting close to it, but they're not quite. But they're a wonderful bunch. And you'll not find a better bunch. Only in heaven. And I say that with a lot of pride. Not for me, but in what these people have done over the years. The blessings they've been, the encouragement that they've been, the support that they've been, and the way God has used them in the past. And God has still got some greater things to do in them and in me, and greater things to use us in the future. Where do we get to? Do we have? Yeah, that's a question to some degree. You know, I look back when we were the youth group and we could see the anointing, God moving. And yet today, for me, I see little of the anointing of God in the churches today. I'm not speaking about here, because I believe we see a reasonable measure of the anointing. I still long to see more. I will never be satisfied. Amen. Until we all come to that place of perfection, in that sense. I'll never be satisfied, because I always want more for you. I'm jealous for you in that sense. But I'm speaking generally in churches that there's not the moving, there is not the anointing flowing in churches. Question, is it because there's a lack of willingness to serve leaders and to serve each other? What is it? Okay, fine. So a lack of wanting to serve and a lack to establish the will of God. You see, it's true, because the word says that you are to love one another as I have loved you. And in loving somebody, you'll serve them. In loving somebody, you'll help them. In loving somebody, you'll do something for them. In loving somebody, sometimes you'll give them a slap. In loving somebody, sometimes you'll have to bring a word of a rebuke, of correction. Timothy is told. That's not always easy to do, because once you've brought the word of correction, they get upset with you. and they can go away and maybe never come back. But that means they're not ready. No. No. And that's sad, that. Because in the end, our honest and deepest desire is to see everyone moving forward, being fulfilled in the things of God, knowing the blessings of God, and a great abundance of the presence of God in their lives.
So that's the wonderful thing that you have, Andrew, you and Grace, in your ministry, is to see that established within the fellowship. I mean, some churches don't have that.
No. I see it as an essential part.
And you see, we benefit from the overflow.
Yeah. I just see that as an essential part of church life, family life. That's the way forward. That's what we need. That's so important. Because you've got to love somebody even in their mistakes. And we don't understand sometimes why a person will do certain things. We're not in the same mindsets. We're not in the same situation. We've not gone through the same traumas and whatever else they're going through. The word tells us that we're not to judge, but the word tells us that we are to bless them, to encourage, to build them up, to support them. To uphold those weak arms as they struggle at times. And that's the family. That's the family nature. There you go.
If that happens, have you failed?
No.
You know what I mean? Because if that happens to me, I think, oh, hell, God, I've failed.
No.
But what I've tended to do is, what I've said then, I've done it, but then I said, I give it to you, God, and I focus really on the word of God, and I said, if I've led myself into that situation and I've done something, I've said, well, I've probably brought that on myself, and I'm sorry, and blah, blah, blah.
A better wording is you tripped up
.
And you fell down.
Because I tend to think, don't say sorry. That's a good thing to always say. I know you shouldn't be doing the same thing and then saying sorry all the time, but if I've got upset, I tend to think, I've got upset, and I tend to see it as a failure.
No, it's not a failure. It's we've tripped up, we've fallen down, and God picks us up and dusts us off. God does not invest in failures. Don't invest in failures.
And every time you fail, God will always use the those hindrances to make a stronger world.
Oh, amen.
You know what, the devil needs your evil, God will always use the good. And far from, the devil thinks he's making you weaker. But it's not. Actually, you get stronger every time that happens. So don't be alarmed, just think, I'm stronger than
that. Let me ask you a question. Did Job fail?
No.
A lot of, I know, it's always you lot, you know, we've talked about this in the past and that, and you're a bit smarter than most congregations these days. Can't put wool over your eyes, can we, anymore? Not that we've tried to, but some people in the past have said, yeah. And they read Job and they say, oh, you don't want to read Job. Oh, dear me. What he went through. Have you read the end? Doubly blessed. Double portions. Life extended.
I've got a tape on Job. Geraldine.
You see, Job, when you look at Job, there's such a blessing in his life. The trials and the tribulations, there's 40 chapters. And you think, bye, this went on for years, didn't it? No, it didn't. It went on for a period of about 9 months. That's all. But it seems as if it goes on forever. And you've been and you're given that impression. People give you that impression. It went on forever. But yet, read the end of the book. Read the end of Job.
You see, and God said, didn't he? So when you see the footprints, when you see one
that
of
famous
the
footprints,
is when I carried you.
That's right. Yeah. And sometimes he does, he just picks you up and he has to carry you through it.
Yeah.
But he'll take you through the situation.
It's amazing how you do feel afterwards when you've handed it over to him. And you even listen to them tapes and reading something. It's amazing really how it blesses you and how it uplifts you. It really is.
Yeah.
But it's like somebody said to us the other day, when things get a bit dark, you know, when you're feeling dark and you're feeling gloomy, it's time to let the light in.
Yeah.
It's so true. All you need to do is pick this up.
I mean, sometimes I want to do all day is take tapes and read books. That's all I want to do, which is not a bad thing, I suppose, is it?
No, it's
fantastic. Yeah. I just feel blessed each time, and then when I put them down, shut the book up, and that's it. It starts again.
Yeah. You know that footprint, that footprint that I was just.
Yeah.
That I see that when there's only one set of footprints, it's when you totally immersed in Psalm 91.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that really wonderful?
Mm-hmm.
It's
wondrous when
you see, when last year we had ducklings, well, we had the ducks, and she hatched out 7 young ducklings, and by that time I drained the pond, not knowing that she was there. She was that well hidden before she had the chicks, and I drained the pond, so there's only a drop of water in the bottom of the pond. And the ducklings, when they finally hatched out, could not get back to the nest for the night. And so I used to go down and find out what was happening. Because some would get out of the pond and then couldn't get back. So I had to go around herding them up and getting them back into the pond, because her wings weren't big enough to. But she was waiting for them in the bottom of the pond. And when they all settled down, and 7 of them got under this little duckling, this duck, there was nothing there but her. And I thought, yeah, that's just what the word tells us.
It's marvellous how she let you help her with the ducklings, really, isn't it?
Well, she got some to look after, and I'm raking around trying to get these others back, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But when they finally got to her, she just sort of did that, and that was it.
Hidden.
Totally hidden. You looked, and there's a duck there. No, there isn't a duck there. There's a duck and 7 ducklings. But she totally covered them. And you think, how did she do it? God's provision. God's provision. And we just walk in that and learn to live in that. And we stop focusing on what we call failures, because we haven't finished living yet. There may be mistakes, but we've not finished living yet. And God is righteous, and his righteousness is given to us without any terms and conditions. His love is given in that same way. So we move forward in that. Well, we'll probably go to the bottom of the page and call it an evening. So many pastors and leaders are running around after the sheep, trying not to upset them. This is what we've been talking about, isn't it? Oh, don't upset them, they might leave. Keeping them sweet. Sorting out infighting. Jockeying for position and power. Notability. Not able to spend time in the Word because you're that busy running around trying to sort out your congregation. I thank God I haven't got a set of sheep like that. I do, honest. I remember when we first started in Harvest Fields and we have an answer machine on the phone, and the answer machine had always got a lot of problems on them. I thank God the answer machine rarely has a message on it. That does not mean to say that we're in more. It just means that we've pointed you all in the right direction and you're going to God for yourselves. And thank God for that. It's not the fact that we're not there for you. We are. But you've heard me say, well, why come to me when you can go to God and get a direct answer? So I thank God for that. And then hopefully it allows us to spend somewhat more time doing other things more constructively in the Word, etc. And so we don't end up hopefully burning ourselves out, running round after the sheep, you know, that have strayed off here, there and everywhere. We as leaders, and I speak of our leadership, you know, we should be looking for ways to help create the breakthrough in the spiritual realm. And every one of us has the potential for leadership in some area, in some way. Because God wants to see the kingdom extended, and He wants to see His people being equipped mightily. And that you can carry the message, you can carry the sword of the Spirit, you can carry the shield of faith, and not be hit and injured by the fiery darts of the enemy. And so we can learn to carry that part of the equipment together. So bless you. Sorry, Bill. We'll have to carry on. No.